Welcome. It's SV Pod with Stanford Steve. Christmas is 3 days away. Mental state assess.
100.
Underline. There you go. That's what I like to hear.
Nothing's getting in the way. You can feel the spirit. Can you?
No.
Preoccupied? A lot of stuff on the list that hasn't checked off yet.
Kids don't listen. I've had to pretend. I've had to fake call Santa Claus. It's real.
How many times? More every day we get closer.
It's just I'm exasperated. The boys don't listen. Do girls listen?
Hell no.
Okay. Thank you.
No. All right. They just get louder. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they? So, I got to get that phone number for fake Santa from you.
I really need someone that I can call that I can. I think I may call. I may put your nut. I may just make it you and you can do the same for me.
Okay.
And if you need me, just call me and then I'll say Santa and you can just play along.
Don't hit the FaceTime button or else they'll be really mad.
Right. But I think that's a solid that every close friend should be able to do for every other close friend, particularly if you have young animal children who we're always on the precipice of a brawl.
Yeah. Yeah. Do your kids ask to eat the gingerbread houses?
No, because there's too many other treats that they, you know. Tonight you're catching me in a rough night. Like, I don't understand why at dinner, why will no one just stay in their seat?
I don't get it.
Like, people are just wandering around. Like, it's dinner, man. Like, where are you going? Why are you going somewhere with a plate? Bring your plate and your tiny little ass back to the seat and sit down and eat. No, you can't have a treat. What are you talking about? It's just... I don't understand. I don't get it. You know what it is? This week, our kids are off school the whole week.
Oof.
That's rough. They they're just at home. And we actually, Scott, how bad did it get on this Wednesday? I'll tell you. Local DC types will know the Billy Goat Trail. We went on a hike. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think, hey, let's go for a hike, is for me? What do you think? That's just 10?
One.
Nope. Yeah. Well, that's what we did. And I got to tell you, it was pretty much fun.
Yeah.
Now, again, did anyone listen? Did Charlie stay at the back? No, I'm the line leader, he says.
Oh, boy.
There's a waterfall in the middle of the Billy Goat Trail. Let's just say both Sam and Charlie ended up with their feet in the water. It's fine. It's fine. It wasn't that cold here today.
Water's crystal clear, beautiful.
It's fantastic. A lot of rock throwing and into the water and logs, things of that nature. Okay. So anyway, that's for all the folks settling in for a long winter's nap, ready for the last pod before Christmas. Just know your man is... out of sorts over here. But I will say this.
You got a little nature in. That's good.
It was beautiful. And I listened to Holly on the way in.
Okay.
Caught Oh Holy Night. I think that's fast becoming my favorite Christmas carol.
By who?
The Josh Groban one's unbelievable.
Okay.
He does this thing where he goes, oh, like the vibrato or whatever it's called. And my kids make fun of it because he holds the last note for like 37 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that's beautiful. Joy to the World with a big chorus is also spectacular.
Very good.
What's your favorite Christmas carol?
What Christmas Means to Me by Stevie Wonder.
God, that's a great song. That's maybe the happiest. That's maybe the happiest you can feel listening to A Christmas Carol. I think you told me this. I think you brought that up before. But I after a month of listening to it over and over, Oh Holy Night, and people like there's a Mariah Carey version of that. There's a Celine Dion. Like, if you got a big voice,
yeah,
you can crush that song. And people do. So that helped me.
Okay.
And we just got one more show to get through here. And then we hope the whole house doesn't catch COVID.
No. That's...
What do we do? What do we do?
I don't know.
I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know.
Is the whole world has COVID.
Feels like it. I don't. You don't.
No, we don't. But, I mean, I just... For everybody out there, if you I hope you're feeling all right. I'd knock on wood. The people I know that have caught this version, it's like the same thing as the other ones. It's that, whatever. Sniffles, cold, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I don't know what we're doing as it relates to sports. Good for Adam Silver for saying, hey, look, people followed our lead in 2020 when we shut down, and hopefully people are going to follow our lead that we're going to figure out a way to keep going here. At some point, that's what you have to do. And this is an impossible conversation because the people that want to yell at you if you don't say shut everything down, like, I can't have that conversation anymore. Like, it isn't 2020. Frank Martin from South Carolina, to make it a sports thing, I thought had the most thoughtful piece about this. He's like, look, I have every shot, and like, I just don't understand. Like, if I get it, I'm out 10 days. That's the same thing it was in the beginning. Like, we're vaccinated. Why are we doing the same thing now as it relates to sitting out as we did in the beginning before everybody was vaccinated? I just don't understand that. And I'm with you. I don't understand that. If this is just what we're going to do for the rest of our life, then there's no, this is just, this is it forever. I don't get it. And again, I have every shot. And I hope everybody I know has availed themselves of that as well. If you have reasons for it, you do. But I don't understand them, but that's, everybody can do what they got to do. But I just hope, I hope that this Omicron thing, I hope we, it's like the being at the beach when that big wave comes. I hope we just all duck and it goes over and we come up for air on the other side and go, all right, let's hope it passes. But man, like, you look around in any direction, whether it's your friends, your family, people, like the sports world, like everything's just screeching the brakes. It's ominous to me. You know what I mean? It just feels like, I don't know. That's got me bummed out too. Cause I just don't know what, there is no finish line, right? Like there's no end of this cause it won't go away. So yeah. Like, so it's at some point it's a matter of figuring out, get the shots, protect yourself. And then, hopefully we figure out how to navigate it and there's a brighter day on the backside. But I mean, you look at the impact in football. I mean, there were three games last week that damn near got canceled. Texas A&M says on Wednesday they can't play in their bowl game. Don't have enough scholarship players. Somebody else, it's gonna happen to somebody else.
Yeah.
For sure. You know it will. And then I saw it could happen. I can't fathom it would happen. But like, yeah, like if you have to forfeit one of the playoff games, you win in a forfeit. Like what? Washington started a guy that wasn't even on their team a week ago off somebody else's practice squad. Cleveland does the same thing. We were talking to Rob.
Lost. Shocker.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, look, I felt like both guys did the best they could do in an impossible spot.
Absolutely.
But we were talking to Rob Ninkovich last night, and this was an off-air conversation that didn't make it on air because I said, like, who do you like for this? Who do you like for that? He's like, look, I like whoever can play players.
Yeah.
Whoever has the most healthy people. Like, you look at the Chiefs this week. I mean, Kelce and Hill, pretty significant. If they didn't have them last week against the Chargers, I'm going to just hazard a guess they wouldn't have won that game. Mm. Considering the nights those guys had. Yeah. So I don't know. It feels like so much of the conversation that makes stuff fun is kind of trying to hazard a guess of who might do this or who might do that. Right now it's like, who knows who's playing, man?
Speaking of,
yeah,
who's playing, who you starting, who you sitting. This is money making time for you.
In these leagues,
how the lineups looking?
How do you think they're looking?
Excellent.
I'm trying to pick up Locke to start for me. I'm trying to get Fromm and hope he starts in a two quarterback league.
All right, let's make sure you're not.
Well, I mean, I got Teddy. I mean, no, that was horrifying. I know that. Yeah. I got Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's playing. So guess what? It ain't. You know what that isn't? That's not a two quarterback league. That's a zero quarterback league. Okay. And I got a bye into the semis. Well, now it's bye bye. One of my starting wide receivers today, Cooks, he's on the COVID. Like, oh. I mean, look, this is so depressing. It's just every direction you turn, there's just what are we doing? I don't know.
Okay.
Santa Claus is coming to town. He's not on the COVID list.
Nope. He's ready to go.
When even the threat of Santa's watching and kid just looks right at you and goes, like, what are you supposed to do with that? I have to turn and hide my smile because like
that. Yes, that's the tough part because when they are funny, cannot give them the acknowledgement. You can't, and it's really hard to do.
Yeah, because funny's funny, and so. And they know me. They read me. I mean, like I have zero poker face with them. And so they know if I'm like, they also know when I'm, they know when dad goes from being mildly annoyed to like, oh boy. And I mean, look, everybody's got to do what they got to do in this life. I didn't get spanked, but like, you just give them like a look, like, and there's a look I get not that they know the look. But when the look doesn't work, I'm out of ammo, man.
It's the shrug emoji.
God, isn't that perfect?
Yeah.
Kids, do you know what the shrug emoji is? Because dad's giving it to you right now. What do we got here? Anything? Nothing? All right. What? I'm not trying to depress people. I'm just trying to honestly reflect sort of the state of mind at the moment.
Okay.
This last week where all like teams and leagues, it's just like, it's so wild to have it feel like 2020 all over again. When again, 90 some odd percent of leagues and whatever are vaccinated, you know?
Yeah.
Which in theory is going to protect you from what this whole thing started with was A, we didn't have a vaccine, and B, this massive fear of what could happen. And yes, we know the seriousness of it. We know the loss of life. We understand that. But we also understand that largely and thankfully, healthy folks are gonna be okay. And so it's just been so wild this last week in particular, every day. Like when there are show meeting, they're like, what's on your mind today? Like, what's on my mind? The NHL stopped playing. That kind of happened and everybody like that didn't even really cause a blip. Like the list that like our buddy Goodman sends out every day of the teams on pause. And every day it just gets longer and longer. Like Tennessee and Memphis were going to play this weekend. It was literally like that Florida State ACC championship game. Like the band's warming up. Dudes are on the floor an hour before game. We can't play. Like, oh, here we go. Here we go. So I don't know, man. Before we move on. Two things I would like to mention. First, listen to our pal Stanford Steve on the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. They put out their second batch of bowl picks today. They'll be back next week with their college football playoff and New Year's Six action. Listen to and follow Stanford Steve and the Bear wherever you get your podcasts. And the annual NBA on Christmas Day tradition continues with five of the best gifts anyone could ask for. Star-studded schedule starts at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. On ESPN, the Hawks taking on the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Then over on ABC, the Celtics taking on the Bucks, followed by the Suns hosting the Warriors. Later on ABC and ESPN, the Nets take on the Lakers. The day is capped off by the Mavs clashing with the Jazz, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific on ESPN.
What are you looking forward to for Christmas? There's something like, Thanksgiving, we went through the plates and the meals. Like Christmas, you got You got something fired up? You cooking? What's the deal?
I'd say this. I mean, there is something truly, truly magic. Like the magic of Christmas. That's my line. Like the kids say, ask about Santa and whatever else. And I tell them the truth. I tell them, I believe in the magic of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Because I do. I'm telling you that. I'm telling our listeners that. I'm not telling my kids because I do. I believe in the magic of Christmas. I believe in what that feeling. There's a poem / it might be an essay, it might be a book. It's called Keeping Christmas. And it's just the idea about kind of bottling the what you feel and what you think about this time of the year. And if you could keep that, if you could bottle that and be think about have that same emotion, that same feeling all year round. And you could, if you just have to work at it. But the magic of Christmas, that Christmas Eve night where my children are truly in the sweet spot and so are yours, where you get to do that, like do some reindeer food.
Yep.
You do some reindeer food, or you get the night before Christmas, you got your Christmas pajamas, you put them down, man. And there's that feeling, man. That's the magic of Christmas. That, and then the morning when you wake up and you're like, man, he did it again, you guys. He made it again. He showed up. I look forward to that. And I mean, I can be exasperated and bummed out and wondering where we're at in the world at the moment. And that's real. But like, so is Christmas. And I think you're the same as I am when it comes to that, aren't you?
No doubt. But you know what else is magic?
What?
Eggnog. You need a little eggnog.
It's a consistency play for me. It's like mayonnaise in a glass.
No, it is not even close. Stop it. No chance. That's not a good analogy at all.
It is for me because you don't like mustard.
I don't like mayonnaise either.
Well, there you go. Well, I don't like eggnog. And there's a zillion things I like around the holidays.
Like how many Diet Cokes on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Well, I mean, the day starts earlier on Christmas, that's for sure. So I'd have to say it's Christmas Day because I mean you're gonna like what time does the bell ding ding? What time does the bell ring and round one start in the Coughlin household?
Well, that's what conversation started at dinner tonight about the idea. Because now we asked Siri to set timers and set alarms.
There you go.
On the iPads. So I said, you know, how about Siri for 7 o'clock on Christmas morning? And that just, I don't even think it was a no. I think it just turned to tears and we changed subjects about that. So I'm guessing.
Hold on. Like earlier than seven is preposterous. No,
exactly. And that's what I said. So
no,
I'm just hoping we get to 6 a.m.
Come on.
Why? You're like up at 5?
No, absolutely not. I told you there's alarm clocks with the light that turns green and that you can't leave your room till it turns green.
Well, maybe the fat man could bring us some of those this year for Christmas.
Hey, fat man, green alarm clocks for the Steve's girls. I don't know what it is. Like, again, there's not a lot of rule following, particularly from the young males in our home. But yeah. that green light, man, if that clock's not green, Sam is not leaving his room.
So what time's that green light turning on?
I think Christmas Day, we can make it to 8.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive.
I don't know why. See, here's the thing. Dad works late at night, mm-hmm. and the kids kind of get that the morning, it doesn't work. Now, I'm not working Christmas Eve, but they're semi-conditioned to that. Like, they're like, well, and I mean, I'm not the one. I'll get up, like, my daughter asked me like, what time can we get up? I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. You like, it's whatever you want. It's Christmas Day. I will get up at whatever time, but my kids aren't early risers. My kids sleep like rocks. That is a win. We get, they got their dad's, they got their dad's ability to just like, you gotta roust them for school, but it's a little different when the fat man comes yeah. down the chimney. Like that's a whole different deal. I feel like there's got to be some sports to talk about.
I have a would you rather.
All right. Those are always good.
Okay. This was mentioned on our previous my podcast with Felica. I asked him, would you rather sit in the Green Monster for the Fenway Bowl between Virginia and SMU
or
go to Jets Jags on Sunday?
Fenway.
Okay.
Just, you know, plus I get to watch Virginia play offense, which means I get to watch 99.
Nah, I don't know if they're all playing.
How much, as a guy who speaks with great reverence for his Sun Bowl trip, whose last game in a Stanford uniform was the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, you've talked about how much that experience means, how much one last 60 on the clock with your boys. For guys to tap out, man, like, make it make sense. I get the business decision angle. I get exactly. it. I get it.
And I can't speak to that. You know?
Of course not. You work, but still, like, pick it. I mean, come on, man. Like, one more time, the guys. You don't have you got an insurance policy, don't you? I mean,
I would think all of them. I talk about it every year. It was, you know, we were at the Rose Bowl for 2 weeks. We got per diem. We got like $1,000 cash going up and down Rodeo, Christmas Eve. I mean, staying at the Lowe's down in Santa Monica.
Oh, the best. How good is that?
Practice at Santa Monica Community College. Carl Lewis is still running laps around. I mean, and then we move the following week into the Beverly Hills Hilton. And it's, you know, obviously, guys, we got to tone it down. It's game week. You know, our last night probably to do something was Christmas Eve.
But did you though?
Yes. We did. It was actually really cool. We had a team of players we practiced at USC, and after one of the days of practice, we all lifted and the seniors got the guys up and said, you know, there's guys that this is it. And, you know, we want to try and make the most of it. And I really thought it was really cool the way the guys did treat that. If the younger guys did go out, I had no idea. The way that hotel is sectioned off, you know, the players, we had our own rooms. You know, the coaches were at the other end of the hotel. I almost absolutely decked Monica Lewinsky in the lobby of the Beverly Hills Hilton by accident. We were coming around a side. And she was coming up the stairs and we were trying to catch a cab. And I literally shoulder blocked her right down the stairs. I felt horrible. And then I realized who it was. And I was like, oh my God. Really sorry. Really, really sorry.
But she was fine. She was fine.
Yes. I was just praying there was no, like, you know, paparazzi's back in the day were following her around.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Our man Cocktail would have become famous. That was your nickname.
We might have ended up at the Wayans Brothers Christmas party upstairs at Dublin's on Christmas Eve. We might have
maybe
ended up there.
Allegedly. Statute of limitations has run out on that. But yes. See, so all of these stories, all the hijinks.
I didn't even get to the Sun Bowl. I mean that.
Well, that Juarez is a whole other deal.
That's a whole other podcast.
My boys in Maryland back in the 80s went to Juarez and they said it's just stuff happens, man. This was the 80s. It was lawlessness.
Scott, we celebrated New Year's in El Paso and went across the border and celebrated again. And as you know, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day is my birthday.
There you go. I'll
tell you the kind of shape I was in.
Also, you're a freshman, yeah?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And the game was played New Year's Eve day, so you could tell how that went.
That was a young man that had a couple bucks in his pocket that was looking to empty them, and did. As for this year's bowl games, I have to say, and I don't know what it is, I feel like I have less of an idea of who's playing who where than I ever have. Mm-hmm. Ever. And I don't know what that's about. I mean, when the games are on, sure. I mean, I'll watch them, pick them, try to give out some winners. No big deal. But as for the games, and I think a lot of this has to do with like the players. I mean, like, if you're not interested, how interested am I supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And the fact that we've narrowed them down to the three games that matter most, you know, New Year's Eve and then the title game. I guess what I'm saying is the sooner they spread this thing out and expand the field, the better it'll be for the sport and across the board. But, you know, good for Cincinnati for getting in. That's a win for them no matter what happens. But I don't know. It's weird. It's an odd disconnect I have from that. And it really was just this whole last week with college basketball games not being played, the NBA games not being played, the protocol, this, the NHL, we're done. The NFL pushing games to Monday and doubleheader Monday, doubleheader Tuesday. It's been such a strange, it's a strange mood that surrounds things. And again, I don't think it's ominous because it's not 2020, but it's just how much is the overwhelming number of people that seem to be getting hit by this Omicron thing. Like how do you keep kind of trudging forward and who do you have available to play, especially in the NFL where you have the biggest, most important games of your season. Like week 16 is nuts. So many games that are so massively important. And then it's like a spin of the roulette wheel, whether you're going to have your full complement. That's a rough way for things to get sorted out when you invest as much time and effort and energy as teams do from August until now. I mean, there's no fix, you know, there's no fix. I just think it just sucks. It just sucks that this is how you're going to decide things. You know,
no doubt.
Whether if you're healthy, great. And if you're not, well, Garrett Gilbert, go get him. I mean, okay. Better that than forfeit. And I mean, they're talking like the, you know, the players wouldn't have gotten paid and nobody wants to see rollovers. I can't believe the NFL would ever get to that point. But I mean, it sounds like it was like, what are we going to do here? Like, you don't have enough dudes to go. So, I don't know. I mean, if A&M doesn't have enough players to play in a bowl game, you think about a college roster, at least you got a bigger group. But I guess it was certain positions groups were just decimated. And if you don't have that, that was what I understand. That's what I guess Lucci was tweeting prior to the news coming out. But I mean, I don't know. It's like everything else. You root for everybody to stay healthy. And as far as the games go, we'll get to the playoffs. Playoffs will be great. Whoever makes it. I just hope people stay. I hope the teams that you want to see play have the people that you want to see play. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo. You guys are going to be all right. Keep the faith, Buffalo. They win Sunday in New England.
Would you, why don't you just go have Christmas in Buffalo so you'll have snow?
I don't know if it's guaranteed there either.
Just really?
Depression. I don't know,
man. Warm front across the states, huh?
Matt, it's crazy. Like, look, I know you don't pay, you make fun of me paying attention to weather, but like, it's going to be like in the 80s in the middle of the country.
Wow.
Crazy. It might get a little Christmas Eve snow front zipping through a little clipper up where we used to live. How do you think that works when I look at the weather forecast where we used to live and you're going to get like a little, the perfect mood snow for Christmas Eve?
Well,
here it's going to be 60.
As you stated when you moved here, you'll never step foot in the state of Connecticut again.
I haven't yet.
And there's no plans to.
Well, I don't know. When I see that for Christmas Eve, I'm like, you know, it was kind of cool when you woke up on Christmas Day and it was just a little bit. Don't need a lot. Just a little mood snow on the ground. I got nothing else.
All right.
I got nothing else.
Can I get one of those happy holidays in that voice?
Hold on. Happy holidays. Happy holidays. I was listening to some of that. Little Andy Williams, whoever, Burt Bacharach or whoever the hell it is, Mel Torme. You guys got nothing on me. You guys might be dead, all due respect, but like I could go. I'm telling you that when our album drops, Steve, you're going to be a hype man. You just be like Petey Pablo. You just be like Petey Pablo and just swing your shirt around your head like a helicopter, and I'll sing Christmas carols. Think about that. It'll be
who's not buying that?
No, everyone, right? You guys out there?
We'll bring the music videos back.
Everybody, you guys will buy it, right? I think they'll buy it. I hope everybody has a very Merry Christmas.
Absolutely.
Happy holidays. Whatever it is you celebrate, whoever you celebrate it with, hopefully it's with people that you love. Hopefully, Google Keeping Christmas. It's Van Dyke, I believe, is your author there.
Got it.
It's I'm not joking. It's
I'm not either.
It's worth reading. It's worth, you know, pondering. You know, Keeping Christmas, Henry Van Dyke. It's a short Christmas sermon, not sermon. That doesn't make any sense. It's just things about what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do?
Whatever it takes.
Are you willing, Steve, to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world? Then you can keep Christmas, and you can keep it for a day. And if you can, why not always? But you can never keep it alone. That's the good stuff. It's not just a one person thing. It requires all of us. So we ended on a good note. I was struggling early. Not a lot of listening in my house. Kind of got beat down today. COVID's beating me down. But in the end, all it took was just a little bit of Keeping Christmas, thinking about Christmas morning. God bless you at 6 a.m. with those three angels. Remember, buckle they're up. Angels. They're angels, Steve.
Oh, yeah, they're angels for one day.
Merry Christmas, my man. And to all of you out there, we appreciate you all being out there. And we'll catch up with you next week.